Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This next guest, I am so excited about it because we really need to try to understand what the what this is all about. It is, we're talking about the Campaign Legal Center, and let me tell you a little bit about our guest. This week, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals issued a ruling that only the federal government is allowed to bring a lawsuit under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. Now, this ruling, which is expected to be challenged at the Supreme Court, could signify a major blow to private citizens or civil rights groups who bring the majority of claims in favor of voting rights for marginalized groups. Now, to look more closely at the impact of the Eighth Circuit's decision, we welcome Mark Gaber. He's a senior director of redistricting at the Campaign Legal Center. We welcome him to the show, and he joins us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me, Carolyn.
This is so important to talk about. Tell us a little bit about the Campaign Legal Center first.
Sure, absolutely. So we're a nonprofit, nonpartisan nonprofit based in Washington, D.C., and we focus on voting rights, redistricting, you know, anti-gerrymandering, campaign finance reform, and government ethics, all sort of with the aim of having a better government, you know, more representative for all folks across the country.
It is shocking to me that we consistently have to deal with this topic. A federal appeals court ruling threatens enforcement of the Voting Rights Act. You know, this is terrifying to Americans, absolutely terrifying. And there are many people that may sit back and laugh about this, but this is very, very real. What do you say to yourself about, are we here again? Why are we here again?
Well, I know it's like, you know, one step forward, two steps back. So folks may know that earlier this year, in a decision that surprised a lot of people, the U.S. Supreme Court in a 5-4 decision with Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh joining with some of the more liberal justices, ruled that the Voting Rights Section 2, it's called, of the Voting Rights Act, you know, was still constitutional and still in effect and protected voting rights to make sure that particularly in redistricting, that Black and brown communities were not split apart intentionally or otherwise and to dilute their voting strength. And so that was a real big boon to the cause and to have that reinvigoration from the Supreme Court this year. And, you know, it's only been, you know, that happened in June. It's November now. And all of a sudden you have this decision this week from the Eighth Circuit. And for folks who don't know, the Eighth Circuit is the Court of Appeals that covers Minnesota, the Dakotas, Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Nebraska. And that federal appeals court said in a 2-1 decision that private citizens can't bring suits under the Voting Rights Act, that only the, you know, United States government can do that. And that's just a huge, I don't think it's going to withstand. I think that, you know, I don't like to make bets, but I think the U.S. Supreme Court is not going to go for this, having just said in a suit from Alabama that was brought by private litigants, having just said, you know, this is A-OK. Mm-hmm. It would be a horrible thing if this became the law. The Department of Justice doesn't have the capacity or the resources to bring these suits, and oftentimes isn't being controlled by folks who are in favor of them.
I don't understand how we have gotten to where we are, sir. It is very frustrating to me. We've been talking about some of these same issues for a very long time. And then things creep in. And before you know it, we hear about the changes here and the changes there. We have heard so much about, Oh, my gosh, how you have to, you know, go out there and try to make sure that everyone is able to vote and everyone is able to participate. And I don't see it anymore. And all of these things that keep happening, like what we're talking about tonight, it almost feels as though we will never get out of it. I feel like I'm drowning. You know, all the joy that I had about elections and about voting. I mean, I vote every year. I vote. And I think it's one of the most important things that we can do. And then new things start happening and changing how we do this. And that is it really healthy for us?
Well, you know, no. But voting is certainly healthy. And I think that the most important thing is that notwithstanding these setbacks that we see from those who want to prevent people from having their voices heard, it's so important that people to continue to participate and show up because even, you know, just as a, you know, I litigate about voting rights. And so it's important to me that people show up so I can keep fighting for people's voting rights in court because it depends on voter turnout and that data goes into the court cases. And so it might seem like it's a struggle and like you're not actually achieving anything, but oftentimes we end up winning, you know, and the good side will win. And then, but we need that turnout for our court cases as well. So it's super important that people continue to participate and not let those who want to stop you from prevailing.
Well, looking back over the last 6 years, we already know that there are plenty of people that are moving away from voting. You know, maybe they weren't the ones that were voting initially anyway, but, you know, you want to try to encourage them. How do you do that anymore, considering what they have learned, considering what we have all watched? And it seems as though, they, you know, those that who want to tell everybody else, you get to vote, but, yeah, all of these people over here don't get to vote. That's what it feels like. And then people give up. I've had young people say, why should I vote? They change everything before we can even find out, okay, is this what I really want? Or they change the language. They change the way we vote. The times are changing, right? Okay, no, you don't get to vote between 10 and 3. You get to only vote between 12 and 2. You know, that sort of thing. It's frustrating. So what do we say to Americans today who are frustrated and they're ready to throw in the towel and go, you know what, I don't even want to read about it. I don't want to know about it, and I don't want to vote.
It's just take a deep breath and get back into it and make sure you participate because that is the, you know, by having types of restrictions, that's the goal is to prevent people from participating. And you just really cannot let that work because then if you do that, you're handing over the government and all the decisions that and we've all seen how important it is to actually have good policies in place. And all of that comes back to voting and participating and making sure that the people who are elected understand that they are accountable to the people. And so it's, you know, you never let that sort of sense of doom about how our elections work take hold because then we certainly will have lost our rights.
We certainly would have lost our rights. And that in itself will be a disaster for so many Americans to become quiet and just not participate would be a disaster. I don't know what else to say to those who are disheartened, who don't really understand why this is happening. Why are these people who want to make these significant, or I should say severe changes to our, you know, to what we understand as Americans? And that is the part I don't know how to answer that to the people I want to talk to. Sir, I hope that you don't mind, Mark, that we take a break and then come back and have our second segment with you. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Ladies and gentlemen, we are speaking with Mark Gaber, Senior Director of Redistricting at the Campaign Legal Centers. Stay tuned.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is now 8:20 here at WCCO. We are joined with Mark Gaber, Senior Director of Redistricting, a campaign legal center is where he's from. And I'm so excited that he's joining us tonight. And just to give you a little taste, if you're just joining us now, this week the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals issued a ruling that only the federal government is allowed to bring a lawsuit under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. Here's the thing for me, and welcome back, of course, Mark. Really appreciate you sticking and staying with us. After reviewing the text, history, and structure of the Voting Rights Act, the district court concluded that private parties cannot enforce Section 2, the judges wrote, and the enforcement power belongs solely to the Attorney General of the United States. What do you say about that?
You know, this is just such an outlier that private parties have been bringing lawsuits under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act for the past 50 plus years, you know, and in particular since it was reauthorized in 1982. And no court anywhere in the country has, before this case, has ever concluded that they could not do so. Clearly, Congress, when it reauthorized the Voting Rights Act, Section 2 in 1982, it was specifically with the intent that private parties would do this. And I think it's just sort of a fringe theory that developed over the past few years. And like I said earlier, it's sort of a game of whack-a-mole in voting rights law. And so each time, you know, one of these obstacles comes up, we have to defeat it and swat it away. I'm pretty confident that we will succeed with this case as well. Notably, this wasn't a unanimous decision. There was the chief judge of the Eighth Circuit dissented and found that this was wrong and that private parties have the right to sue. And that's clearly what Congress intended. And I just, it was disheartening to see the decision, but I wasn't surprised to see it. And I expect that the U.S. Supreme Court will overturn this decision.
Here's where I am, sir. I'm at the point where mayhem is about to happen. People are so frustrated. It keeps changing. It's ever changing. There's always someone coming forth to change another law. You know, add this to it, subtract this to it. And it's very frustrating. What does it look like for you 30, 50 years from now in the United States if we are going in this direction?
Well, the good news is that we've certainly made progress since the 60s and the 70s and the 80s in terms of voting rights. And hopefully we continue to make that progress. I think there will always be forces out there that are trying to move things backwards. But certainly Minnesota sort of stands out as a shining star of a state that has very open access to voting and has, high voter participation and is kind of a national example to use for other states. And so I'm always a hopeful person. I see things in as positive a light as I can. And I think that some of our earlier wins this year in the U.S. Supreme Court, against the odds that people thought, show that, we really can make progress. And so this is I see this week as a setback. But not one, as I said, that I think will be a permanent setback. I see this as being short-lived, and I think that when those sort of setbacks arise and when we defeat them, it actually has the opposite effect of those who support it want. It shows that the Voting Rights Act is, permanent and will last and will work. And so I'm hopeful that that's what will come out of this.
I have faith in our president. I really do. He works hard. I get tired of people talking about how old he is, which ageism is a real, issue in our country again, right? It used to be, taken care of, but no, it's back. So as we keep moving forward and we know that it keeps changing, I keep asking myself, then what can I do? I know that I can still vote, right? Thank goodness they haven't taken that away. I know that I can keep voting. I know I can keep going to people saying, please vote, please vote. But there has to be something louder and stronger, because that's what we're hearing from the other side. What would you suggest?
I think you're right about you got to vote. You got to talk to people and get them to vote. You got to talk to the younger generation and make sure that they understand that people fought and died for their right to vote and make their voices heard. And when they do that, they elect people, that will listen to them. And so I think that's the most important thing. But I also think it's important to reach out to your members of Congress and to your state legislators. They, people might not realize this, but they listen when they hear from people. And if their phones ring off the hook about a particular issue, they take note of it. They tell the person who's answering the phone, tells their boss, this is how many people called on this issue. And you can actually change minds by striking the fear into people that maybe they have an issue that they might not get reelected on. And so I think it's important to have your voices heard both at the ballot box, and just vocally and to your representatives.
Well, I agree with you on that. I just worry that it's not enough, sir. I just worry that it's not enough. What I am grateful for is for you, Mark. I really appreciate you working so hard for those of us that really need to understand it, need to know, and need to continue to vote and go out and get as many as possible to do the same. So I honor you for that. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I hope we can call on you again.
Absolutely. Thanks, Carolyn, for having me.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.